This is Side Door, a podcast from the Smithsonian with support from PRX. I'm Tony Cohn. Time travel with me for a second to 1995. We're in Beijing. An artist walks out of his mother's house holding a large rounded ceramic vase. It's priceless. It's more than 2,000 years old. It survived earthquakes, fires, even the rise and fall of dynasties. Its value to Chinese culture can't be measured. The artist turns towards the camera, stares it down, and as the shutter snaps, he lets the vase slip between his fingers. And it smashes onto a brick floor. The vase drop is shown in triptych. That's three photos shown in panels next to each other. The first image is pre-drop, the second mid-drop, and the last, shards are everywhere. The artist's expression doesn't change from photo to photo. For dropping a really historic object, his face is impassive. He doesn't seem mad, and he certainly doesn't seem apologetic. The resulting artwork, titled appropriately, Dropping of a Han Dynasty Urn, 1995, reflects his face. It's almost aggressively bland. It makes a statement with its non-statement. For some, this was a necessary provocative act, a reference to the way that communist China controlled and erased dynastic history. For others, this brazen destruction of an artifact was highly controversial. Okay, so who is this guy? This is the artist Ai Weiwei, and he's been using his work to make political statements and courting controversy while doing so since his public debut in the late 1970s. And in a second, we're going to meet him and find out more about his provocative works of art right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sometimes on Side Door, okay, maybe a lot of the time on Side Door, we get our wildest wishes granted. One of mine, a one-on-one sit-down with the iconic Chinese artist Ai Weiwei. As a sort of self-proclaimed art buff who's worked at the Smithsonian for a long time, I was pretty freaking stoked.
I can like see him, kind of. My hands are sweaty. I hope he doesn't notice.
Ai Weiwei was coming to DC for a series of firsts. His first time at the Smithsonian's Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden, and his first time seeing his current exhibit, Trace, in person. But before you meet him, you really need to know his work to fully appreciate his voice. Ai Weiwei's debut as an artist was in 1979, and by then, his relationship with his native country, China, was already complicated. His father, Ai Qing, was a renowned poet and scholar who enjoyed a great deal of success in China during his early career. But in 1958, when Ai Weiwei was just 1 year old, Ai Qing was accused of voicing anti-communist sentiments and was forced to work in the northernmost regions of China, confined to menial labor and work camps. And so Ai Weiwei's formative experiences taught him about his country's ability to suppress political opposition by cracking down on anyone who thinks differently. When I asked him about his dad, here's what he told me.
My father's life has been reflected in the struggle of Chinese fighting for freedom through the Japanese occupation and fighting for fairness and justice for society. And also he was punished by communist society. So I grew up with him in this kind of camps. So I think his art and his poetry teaches me so much about human dignity and fight for the fairness and justice in the society.
He's a little hard to hear because he's so soft-spoken. I found myself leaning in closer to hear everything he was saying, But basically the gist of his quote is that his dad fought for fairness and justice from both the communists and the Japanese when they occupied parts of China in the 20th century. And because of his efforts, he ended up in work camps. Ai Weiwei's father spent 21 years in exile, but was reinstated in 1979. By then, Ai Weiwei had grown up seeing firsthand what happens when a Chinese citizen speaks out against the government. And still, he started taking on the communist regime himself. And as a result, his own path began to look like his dad's. Remember the Beijing Olympics?
I now have the honor of asking the President of the People's Republic of China to open the games of the 29th Olympiad of the modern era.
The year was 2008. The stadium, built exclusively for Beijing's Olympic Games, was massive. 91,000 seats with a $400 million price tag. And Ai Weiwei helped design it. It isn't exactly a place you'd expect to find a dissident artist. Designing a stadium for the Chinese government to display its architectural and athletic power. And by the end of the Olympics, Ai Weiwei had reached the same conclusion. And true to his nature, he was not quiet about it. Here's a report from the BBC that covered Ai Weiwei's displeasure.
I described the Beijing 2008 Olympics as a show that the Chinese communist regime put on. He said, quote, "The Beijing Olympics have oppressed the life of the general public with the latest technologies and a security apparatus of 700,000 police guards. It was merely a stage for a political party, the Chinese Communist Party, to advertise its glory to the world. Since the Olympics, I haven't looked at the stadium."
Keep in mind that challenging state power is a criminal offense in China. And not to belabor the point, but his dad spent 21 years in exile. Ai Weiwei knew what he was doing, and he was just getting warmed up. In 2009, he put together an exhibit called Remembering, a piece that was very contentious. A BBC documentary put it this way.
Ai Weiwei has always been outspoken, but a recent project put him in direct confrontation with the government. An earthquake in the Sichuan province in 2008 caused many school buildings to collapse, resulting in the death of thousands of children.
To honor those children's lives and represent their loss, Ai Weiwei covered the entire facade of the Museum of Art in Munich, Germany, with 9,000 children's backpacks in primary colors. They spelled out
the heartfelt words of one grieving mother whose child was killed in the earthquake. She lived happily in this world for 7 years.
He began to have a kind of political commentary that was above and beyond art making. He kind of came out with a politically motivated statement that was, in essence, trying to memorialize those thousands of children who had been killed and in the earthquake and subsequently because of shoddy construction.
That's Melissa Chu. She's the director of the Smithsonian's Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden.
And so in some ways, the undercurrent was that he was calling attention to that the construction contracts, some of which were government, most of which were government. And so it kind of was an implicit criticism of the government.
Melissa is also an art historian who's curated over 30 international exhibitions, mainly focused on the artists of Asia. We met in her office to talk about Ai Weiwei, who she's known for over 20 years.
He, in fact, as an artist from the very beginning in the 70s, was very much an agent provocateur.
He told the ABC Australia News that in 2011, he was imprisoned for 81 days for tax evasion.
Now I was locked into a room, which was two soldiers next to me. Of course, they cannot talk to me. I would sit exactly like this position whole day. And they would watch me 24 hours a day, and they just look at me, stare at me like this.
That's torture.
Well, it's mental torture.
Even after that traumatic run-in, Ai Weiwei still followed up Remembering with an ambitious 2010 exhibition, Sunflower Seeds, at London's Tate Modern Museum. He hired 1,600 Chinese artisans to paint 100 million porcelain sunflower seeds by hand. Okay, let me say that again. 100 million hand-painted sunflower seeds. Each had its own unique pattern and style. The Sunflower Seeds exhibition was impressive for its own sake. I mean, it was this fascinating, sprawling artistic feat. But the exhibit also protested China's cheap labor and mass production practices and the toll they took on workers in the country. The choice of sunflower seeds is not random either. During the Great Chinese Famine, which started in 1958, sunflower seeds were one of the few things around to eat. Before its end, over 25 million citizens starved to death. The Chinese government is often blamed. 100 million sunflower seeds in a museum is definitely one way to say, never forget. And by this point, China had had enough. The soft-spoken artists had bugged the power structure to the point where they felt that they had to do something. Ai Weiwei's passport was confiscated at the airport in Beijing in 2011. But that didn't stop him from making big, provocative, authority-challenging art from within China. What it did do was prevent him from being able to see it on display around the world. After the break, we'll head back to the Hirshhorn to talk all about Trace, Ai Weiwei's ambitious new installation that he hasn't been able to see on display in person. Until now.
Support for Smithsonian Side Door comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/sidedoor. That's odoo.com/sidedoor.
I recently walked through Ai Weiwei's new exhibit, Trace.
I am riding the escalator right now up to the Ai Weiwei exhibit. The museum hasn't opened yet. I feel super cool. And the first thing that I see is this gold wallpaper. It's filled with Twitter birds and surveillance cameras. And one of the Hirshhorn staff members pointed out to me that if you look closely at the surveillance cameras, that you can see a naked Ai Weiwei in them, which is kind of wild.
In addition to the dystopian wallpaper, the exhibit includes a series of 176 portraits of political dissidents. And while I was there, I asked a few visitors about their reaction to it.
So I just walked through four art installations by Ai Weiwei about the history of political dissidents in a number of countries around the world.
It's basically, in Legos, the pictures of a bunch of political prisoners, dissidents, you know, activists, people that he obviously wants to draw attention to. And so, yeah, if anything, I was struck by how many I didn't know.
It really gets you thinking, the wallpaper and things, just the whole the security cameras and the Twitter birds, and really makes you think about society as a whole. And I guess that's what the artist wants the viewer to, you know, the impression that he wants to give on them.
So Trace is a work that was originally commissioned for display at Alcatraz.
That's Melissa Chu again, director of the Hirshhorn Museum.
It's portraits of prisoners of political conscience. And by that, I mean people who have been imprisoned for their beliefs.
Some of the prisoners of conscience include names that we all know: Nelson Mandela, Edward Snowden, and Chelsea Manning. But Ai Weiwei also portrayed many people who are less famous, like Shiva Nazar Ahari, an Iranian journalist, and Miriam Ibrahim, a Sudanese woman imprisoned for her marriage to a Christian man.
And Ai Weiwei looked very carefully at the Amnesty International lists of people and identified 170-odd people who he essentially created portraits out of Lego.
Yup. All the portraits are made out of children's toys. Legos. It may seem like an odd choice with such serious subject matter, but when Ai Weiwei explains it, it makes a lot of sense.
Lego is only a media. And, you know, we use pencil to make a drawing. We may use color to make a painting. We may use mud to make a sculpture. And the Lego is a modern media children would always use. And I think it's, you know, have a nice color and has all those little blocks and which can be precisely in dealing with a shape or a form. So I think it's modern language And it's a language everybody understands, and most people likes it, had an experience in relating to it.
The Legos aren't the sole focus of the exhibit. Neither really are the individuals they portray. It's about starting a conversation about the hidden power structures that make society tick, and sometimes abuse public trust. Melissa Chu echoed this as she told us about one of her favorite Ai Weiwei memories from an art gala they attended together.
And we had this glittering kind of curtain to hide all of the back end of the, you know, sound and AV. So he came into the room. The first thing he did was go straight for that curtain to see what was behind it. And I always think that that is a really good example of his MO, that he's interested in the power structures behind things and understanding that. And because of his life experiences, he's much more attuned, I wouldn't say cynical, but he's sensitive to how that power structure works.
And Ai Weiwei says he responds to that balance of power in his art.
I think art and the political struggle can never be separated. I think our life is full of aesthetic judgment, same time for our moral judgment and a philosophical understanding about who we are and where we come from and how the future is going to be.
What Ai Weiwei just said here really stuck with me. Art and political struggle can never be separated. And that our future is up to the choices we make, informed by where we've come from and who we want to be. It makes me rethink some of my own ideas about the purpose of art. Yes, art can be admired for just its beauty, but it can also make big political statements that challenge the status quo and make us ask hard questions and think critically about the world we live in. Ai Weiwei's political work does just that, and it does so at great personal risk to the artist himself. It makes the strong case that personal freedom and creative freedom are worth the risk. A message just as relevant and powerful today as it was in generations past. You can see Ai Weiwei's Trace exhibit at the Smithsonian's Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden here in Washington, D.C., now through January 1st, 2018. We also have a very cool link on our website, si.edu/sidedoor, where you can explore the Lego portraits and learn more about the people depicted in them. I want to give a special thanks to Carly Lamke, our side door intern who did incredible work for us this summer. Carly, good luck on your senior year and take us home.
Hi, my name is Carly and I go to the University of Wisconsin. Today is my last day as the side door intern and I'm going to read the credits. So wish me luck, here it goes. You've been listening to Side Door, a podcast from the Smithsonian with support from PRX. If you liked this episode, please leave us a review in Apple Podcasts. More reviews will help more people find this podcast. Or you can just tell someone about it in real life. That's what I always do. Our podcast team is Justin O'Neill, Stacia Brown, Jason Orfanon, Gabe Kozowitz, Jess Sadek, and me. Extra support comes from Casey McAdams, Barbara Rehm, Nico Picaro, and Elizabeth Pilger. Tony Cohn is the host. I'm your intern, Carly Lamke. Thanks for listening.